Hare Krishna. Thank you for your strong support there. It's greatly appreciated. Over the next few days leading up to Gaur Purnima, there's different thematic classes going on. Is this the first one? Was there one before this? The third one. What were the others about? One was on chanting of the holy name? Haridas Thakur. Okay. Raghunath Das. Wow. Today is Rupa Goswami. You know, there's the mind just goes universally on, you say something about Rupa Goswami related to Gaur Purnima. There's just endless possibilities. There's endless possibilities, and that can become a massive problem because then you don't know what to talk about. So, recently I was listening to a devotee giving quite a sharp speech on the subject of taste in Krishna consciousness. And it really provoked me. I wasn't sure I was fully there with the speaker on the subject, but it certainly provoked me. And I started to read the Bhagavatam again, and something was very striking as I just read the invocation. And based upon that, then the subject of Rupa Goswami, and then how all this relates to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was thinking that maybe that's created a root or a basic theme for today's class. Perhaps I should start at the end, because sometimes when the class starts, I could go to the right a little, go to the left a little, and get to the end, or not get to the end, usually, and then walk away and think, oh! You know, the very essential point that I was hoping to convey, I got detracted and just lost in the subject, and I hope something came through of it. So I thought maybe start with the end. I think there's even a principle, isn't it? Start with the end in mind, or something like that. I think it's very important to devotional life. There's one verse which describes sadhana bhakti, where it clearly delineates that the outcome of sadhana is bhava or love. And if bhava isn't the sadhya bhava, the very end is sadhana and sadhya. Sadhya is the aim, the goal, the object, the thing to be achieved, the result is sadhya. Sadhana is the means through which, or the practice through which, or the lifestyle through which, or the culture through which, or the temperament through which we live to achieve that ultimate fruit, to that goal. So in practicing Krishna consciousness, it could be particularly easy to reduce what we're doing down to, like, perhaps trying to be more austere, perhaps trying to be more regulated, trying to man up or woman up and be surrendered or be hardworking or push the boundaries, go the extra mile, become free of my false ego, be more humble, stop getting angry, don't be so envious. The list is unlimited. And we could spend years perhaps trying to be somebody in the Krishna conscious movement, be an identity, somebody who's recognized for something and not just somebody who's just another somebody. So therefore, to have a strong sense of where all this is going and where all this should end up and where I should find myself in the end. It's really important to understand what the end is. So I think in the business management library, they have a principle, start with the end in mind. This is where we want to be now. When we know where we want to be, we have a vision of it. Then when we put a time frame on that, Hare Krishna. Then when we put a time frame on the vision or the want or the desire, or the it becomes a goal. And then when we make a plan to get to the goal, it's a strategy. Yeah. So, on that basis, for today's class, the end is that taste is something very, very important. It's at the very heart of our spiritual life. The very heart of it. The Bhagavatam is about it. Mahaprabhu obsessed on it. Rupa Goswami experienced it. And he formulated a language through which he could talk to us about it. There was no language before him to speak about the experience of taste. He just joined up with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and found himself washed away in the tide of it. The exhilaration of the experience of it. The undeniable glory of it. But how to explain it to other people in such a way that they can conceive of it and not be worried for it or afraid of it. Dr. Prabhupada writes that Rupa Goswami has established bhakti on the basis of the Vedic literatures. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically requested him to do this. Krishna tattva, bhakti rasa tattva. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, rasa tattva pranta. Shabashi kaila prabhu bhagavat siddhanta. He said that Rupa Goswami, he lived to present Krishna tattva, information to us about Krishna, bhakti tattva, information to us about devotional life or love, rasa tattva pranta, and what it is to experience that, what it is to delight in that, what it is to be exhilarated by that, what it is to live by that, what it is to be perfected by that. Shabashi kaila prabhu, bhagavat siddhanta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught all these things to Rupa Goswami. So, taste is everything. Taste is everything. That's the end. Let's come to the beginning now. That's okay. So, I chose this. There's a lot of verses. Choose a verse for class. So, that could go on forever for me. That could be 3 weeks of searching through books, thinking of what text it might be. So I came across this one and I thought, this is good enough to go because the purport's nice. Is that okay? Translation. Had you not previously bestowed your mercy on him, they said, it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feelings. Please repeat. Had you not previously bestowed your mercy on him, they said, it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feelings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devotees acknowledge Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami in the following words. Sri Chaitanya Menobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Pasvadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? The special function of Srila Rupa Goswami is to establish the feeling of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's so particular that the verse in it says, Hridayanuvad, the very expression of his heart. It's not like taught his thoughts, taught his philosophy, taught his theology, realized the purport. The special function of Srila Rupa Goswami is to establish the feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings. Feelings are generally things in our early Krishna consciousness. We kind of like put your feelings aside, Prabhu, follow authority. You know, I know you have feelings, but forget them for now. We got to go. Get in the van. Let's hit the street. Or whatever. You feel this, you feel that, whatever, Prabhu. The animals also have feelings. These feelings are his desire that his special mercy be spread throughout the world in this Kali Yuga. Prithivityachi jatta nagradigram sarvatra prachar hoibi mor nam. His desire is that all over the world, everyone in every village and every town know of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. These are the inner feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami committed to writing all these feelings of the Lord. Now again, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same feelings are being spread all over the world by the servants of the Goswamis. The devotees who are pure and simple will appreciate this attempt. As concluded by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, however, those who are on the level, wait for it. However, those who are on the level of hogs and dogs will never appreciate such a great attempt. Yet this does not matter to the preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. For all over the world, they will continue to perform this responsible work, even though persons who are like cats and dogs do not appreciate them. Hogs and dogs and cats and dogs will not appreciate the feelings, the feeling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as expressed by Rupa Goswami. So why this verse? Rupa Goswami's journey is an incredible journey in pursuit of the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On various occasions, it became very, very obvious to everyone that he was the special recipient of something extraordinary. A great mercy. Prabhupada writes, he's exalted like no other is exalted as Rupa Goswami in this service. He received profound mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On this occasion, this is where in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited Ramananda Rai, Surup Damodar, and Surup Damodar to come and visit Rupa Goswami. He was staying with Haridas Thakur. They stayed in Siddhabakul. They stayed in Siddhabakul because they were malechas, chandalas. They were lowly people. They were lowly people that the orthodoxy of Brahmanism wouldn't even want to have to cast their glance on them. On one occasion, Rupa Goswami's brother walked for miles on the sand of the beach to go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the fear he might touch someone. And contaminate them. And when he arrived, his feet were covered in blisters because of the heat. And Mahaprabhu said, what have you done? Look at your feet. He said, I came by the beach to avoid going past the temple. But I didn't feel a thing because I was thinking of you. So they lived in this place, Siddhabakul, away from the center of orthodoxy, in such simple and humble in such a simple and humble way of life, and very happily. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was continuously wonderstruck by Rupa Goswami. The first time he came to see him in Puri, he had Rupa Goswami read one verse. This was on the second occasion. And it was a verse about the two syllables of Krishna. That when they enter the ear, one feels like one would require thousands of years. When they enter the mouth, or they feel one should have thousands of mouths. And when they enter the heart, one's senses, one's existence implodes entirely. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking, he said, you're writing. Even your handwriting, it's like a string of pearls. And then he had written famously the other verse on a palm leaf. He had been on Rath Yatra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing a verse, his own verse. And the verse was about a specific ecstatic state. This is in the George Harrison Garden, the seventh step of the journey, viraha, or viparlamba, that large piece of upright timber that says on it, I really want to be with you, represents this viparlamba, or viraha, which means the lovelorn state. the state of where one has come so close in heart to the object of love, but the object of love is absent, that is at a heartbreaking experience to the point of delirium. Delirium, delirious with heartbreak. Viraha. This specific rite of passage is the route to revelation of God or revelation of Krishna. There's no other route. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that in this seventh progressive step towards sambhog, or meeting, embrace, union with Krishna, viraha is what brings the revelation. This expression of heart's feeling is considered to be like the oil of crushed sesame, fit for anointing the limbs of God. It's more nectarine than all nectar, and it's more deadly poisonous than the most poisonous of snakes. And that alchemy is, or that experience is the very thing that brings revelation. Krishna's, it's a principle of bhakti, it's called Krishna Akarshati, which means it draws Krishna helplessly towards it. That manifestation of that love draws Krishna helplessly to reveal himself. Prabhupada, when he was in South India, some life members there had given Shyamasundar's daughter Sarasvati a deity of Krishna, a very expensive deity of Krishna. Prabhupada thought it was a bit too expensive a thing to give to a little girl to play with. So he took the deity, and when Sarasvati came into the room, she was looking for the deity. And she was saying to people, "Where's Krishna?" And they were going, "Oh, I don't know." And she goes to the next person, "Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? I can't find Krishna. Where's Krishna?" Until finally someone said to her, "Prabhupada has Krishna." And Prabhupada then said, "This is the mood of the Goswamis. This is the mood, the spirit. This is the life. This is the special potentizing factor of devotional life which brings revelation of Krishna. Viraha." Why did I start talking about that? Viraha. The deep feelings of separation. The palm leaf. Thank you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would express these symptoms on Ratha Yatra. Because, you know, when the gopis went to Kurukshetra, Krishna left Vrindavan. He broke every heart of Vrindavan. They trailed bedraggled behind him, snatching and catching and grasping and clawing to try to hold him back, falling before huge galloping horses as their very life and soul just was being drawn away from them by Akrura. They lived in separation until finally the moment came through which, the opportune moment, they would see Krishna again in Kurukshetra. He was traveling, this now Dwarkadish, you know, with so many queens and with armies and with power and opulence and the monarch would be in Kurukshetra for ceremonies, and this was their perfect moment for them to see him. And so they all packed up their wagons and set off for Kurukshetra. And when they arrived in Kurukshetra, you know, they were feeling such exhilaration, the residents of Vrindavan. But all of the young ladies of Vrindavan who had fallen helplessly in love with Krishna, and there's nothing much you can do when you're in love. So don't fall in love. That's because love makes a slave of us, a complete slave of us. It makes a fool of us. It makes a liar of us. It makes a cheat of us. This type of amorous love, it blinds us. In a material sense, also in a spiritual sense. Would you agree with that? Possibly. Because look at the gopis, look at these young ladies. They were all from families, culture, tradition. You know, they just, beyond every social, cultural expectation of them, beyond every law, beyond every religious principle, at such risk, they had to be with him. When they were young, they took off their clothes in the river and walked out the river Yamuna naked before him as he was up on a tree, having stolen all their clothes. They really crossed the line. But they were just so helplessly. When they heard the music of his flute, it said it just entered their ears, captured their hearts, and ran away with it. Ran off with their hearts, and they went chasing after their hearts into the forest in the dead of night with no consideration for risk. Even Krishna was like, there's wild animals out here. You know, what will your families think? What will society, how will society view you? You're finished. And they just stood with their heads downcast, scratching lines in the sand with their toenails, as immovable as the Himalayan mountains. So in the same spirit, in the night, they went. Now how does love make you a liar? They went, oh, we're just going to meet Krishna tonight in the forest. They're like, think of what they would have to come up with in order to be excluded from the environment they were meant to be in. Where were you? I was picking flowers in the groves. What? This time of night? Love made Krishna a liar, the supreme liar. What's all of this? What's this blue chatter? It belongs to Balaram? It belonged to someone else? Is that scratch marks on you? I was just wrestling with the boys. So they went to meet him, and in that meeting, as they stood before Krishna in Kurukshetra, then, in the famous words of Radharani, she said, it's the same you, it's the same me, it's the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra, it's the same fragrance of Malati in the air, but it's not Vrindavan. And it's not the Yamuna. And I don't want you here. I want you in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami heard this expression on Rath Yatra and just immediately put it into poetry. And he put it on poetry in a leaf and just put the palm leaf in the thatched roof of where he was staying. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to bathe, he came back and he saw the leaf and he took it out and he read it and he thought, how does this person know my heart? Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response, and he embraced him, and he empowered him personally. He said, I give you my full shakti in order to describe these things, to convey these things, and obviously in ways they'll be understood. This is later again when he brought these other devotees. He brought them to look at the work. Rupa Goswami had written this, Vidagda Madhava, Lalita Madhava is a beautiful poetic drama of Radha and Krishna and Krishna and Dwarka. And Srup Damodar and Ramananda Rai were absolute connoisseurs of the subject. Connoisseurs and scholars of the subject. And so they were examining his writing. Now, if you just imagine when, I take risk in saying this, when, oh no, I don't. Who was the, I was thinking of somebody else, but there was a scholar that came to Vrindavan and he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to read his poetry. There was two people. There was one pandit and it never got passed through Damodar. I was like, no, no, you're going to put that in front of him. No, sorry. And then there was another who wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. No, it's not going anywhere. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going, taking the leaf, and telling Rupa Goswami, read another verse, read another verse. Srimad Damodar, what do you say about this? Ramananda Rai, what do you say about this? What's your comments on this verse? They were like, read to us the introduction. How do you introduce the characters? And then in one verse, he read, Anarpita charam chat karunayavatirna kalo samarpayatam munadujjalarasam sabaktisriyam hari purita sundara dhuti kadamba sandipita sada hridai kandare spirito vaha sachinandana. Everyone was in shock. Especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, this is never before has a person been so graceful. So graceful that the unat ujjala ras, this is where the class is meant to end, ras. The unat ujjala ras, this deep, deep sense of love, this deep feeling of love, of the highest order. This type of love that Narad, Uddhav, everyone, when they saw it in the gopis, they all said, let me take birth at Govardhan Hill so that the feet of these gopis will trod on me, that the dust of their feet will be upon me, that I can develop such an exhilarated type of devotion as they have. When Uddhav came to Vrindavan, he was saying, the gopis all gathered around him. And he was like, I have a special message from Krishna. They were like, what is Krishna doing to us? I have a special message for you. And he wrote that... Your anguish and separation from me will be relieved by always remembering me. And their response was, what? This is the whole problem of our lives. We can't forget Krishna. We're thinking of a morning all through the day, and the thought, it inspires the love, and the love agonizes the heart. And what type of letter is this he sent? The whole basis of our problem is we can't stop thinking about him. Just in a moment's exposure, isn't there? There's nice little narration. They tell about one young lady sees Krishna for the first time. And she's standing by the doorway. And as Krishna's coming through the village with all the calves and all the cows, he realizes that this devotee is there, standing behind a door. So he pulls the tail of one calf, which runs and knocks the door open, and which she is there in direct darshan of Krishna. There's a beautiful prayer, Vishnacha, Kasturi Tilakam, the smell of Kasturi, beautiful tilak, anointed with the chandan, with the gait of an elephant. And he's just that, you know, the origin of Cupid, amor personified, raso vaisaha. Every pleasantry, every delight, every intoxication of love is standing him before this young lady, and then walks on. And all the women of the house think now she's been poisoned by a black snake, and they catch her and try to busy her in chores of the house. They take a baby and put it in one of her arms. They take a bucket and put it in the other, and a rope, and send her off to the well to take her mind away from Krishna. And then as they turn round, they see her lowering the baby down the well on a rope. Because she's bugle. She's bugle. She's so intoxicated with what, and overwhelmed and maddened. Unmada. Divyunmada. It's a state of absolute madness. It's so, such a mad thing. Can you imagine? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arms and legs became disjointed from his body because his body was melting under the intensity of his experience. His own divine body couldn't cope with the experience taking place. So this profound feeling of love, this Divyanmada, gosh, I'm wondering why I'm talking about that now. What was my point of detour there? No, but what was the point? So they were like, we don't want you here, we want you in Vrindavan. Yeah? And then the feelings of separation. Rasa. Raso vaisaha. Yes. Because that's him. He is love. He is love. The thing everybody talks about in its variegatedness. And the absolute delight of it. It's him. So the Upanishad said, Raso vaisaha. He is rasa. All the other, your tattvamasi, your humbramasmi, no, raso vaisaha. Raso vaisaha rasam ye vayam labdhananda bhavati. That he is rasa, the jiva soul, or the part, is rasa seeking. And when they come together, raso vaisaha, he is ras, we are seekers of ras. We're born of that substance, we seek that substance. Raso vaisaha rasam ye vayam lavdhanandi bhavati. So when the subject and object finally come together, everything's complete. We're home. Now, to the points I wanted to make about this. When I was reading the Bhagavatam again, I came back to visit it after some while, when I was reading the verses of invocation, I was just thinking in a very summarized form. Verse 1, there is a supreme truth. Satyam Param, there is. That's a verse 1 of Bhagavatam. There is Satyam Param, a supreme truth. Above all others, it all concludes in this Satyam Param. Yeah? And this book speaks about the life through which it can be achieved. Nothing, there's no cheating business in here whatsoever. Then the third verse. Nigama kalpatarur galitam phalam sukhamukhat amrita dravya samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam mahura horasika bhuvi bhuvukaha. I was thinking, you know, every other shastra is like, you know, atato brahma jigyasa. You know, now it's time to wake up to Brahman. Now it's time to wake up to knowledge of the Supreme. Now it's time to wake up to knowledge of reality. Now it's time to wake up to knowledge. Isn't it? Atato brahma jigyasa. Wake up to your spirituality. Wake up to the absolute. Wake up to knowledge. And I think, look at the invocation of the Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpatarur galitam phalam. Well, this is the essence of all of those texts. And it's a mature and juicy fruit. Juicy fruit. There was a drink called that. Juicy fruit. It's the mature and juicy fruit. Galitam phalam. Sukham mukhat. Sukadeva Goswami drank this. Shukha Goswami was born. He was already a Tato Brahma Jigyasa. And he just wandered off from his home. His father was calling. His father wanted to teach him the Bhagavatam. But he wandered off and he thought, who is this? What? I have the same level of attachment to this tree as I have to this thing saying, come home, son. It said only the echo from the trees came back to the father. The son was completely Brahman realized. And he wandered, and his father wanted to find him. He couldn't find him, so he spoke to the forestry workers. He said, can you please sing these verses as you go around the forest? And they gave him verses about Krishna from the Bhagavatam, about the sweetness of Krishna. And as they were going and working, they were saying, and this Brahman realized soul then heard this verse and thought, he just was drawn. And thus he came back to his father, who could then share with him knowledge of the Bhagavat. So, Sukhamukha, it's been touched by his lips. And as such, it's even more sweeter. His explanation defies sweetness itself. Amrita, dravya samyutam. Dravya, and it's like the pulp of fruit. The rus, mango rus. Pibata. It isn't like read Bhagavatam. Study Bhagavatam. Pibata. Just drink it. Drink it. Pibata Bhagavatam. Rasam alayam, because it's ras. It is irresistible delight. Taste itself. Raso vaisaha, Krishna is taste himself. The Bhagavatam is taste in itself to be drunk. Pibata Bhagavatam rasam alayam. Mahur aho rasika. You, rasika, taster, you connoisseurs, you wise connoisseurs of love, drink it. Drink it to liberation, drink it beyond. Or drink it till you fall on the floor and get up and drink more. And I thought, wow. That wasn't just, you know, an Om Purnamada Purnamidam or a Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This is something beyond. This is Rasa Shastra. Rasa Shastra. It's a Rasa Shastra. It's a scripture about the aesthetics of the delight experienced in love. Rasa Shastra. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which explains Rasa Swarup Srimad Sri Bhagavata Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swarup. Swarup is the very form of it, the very depth of it. The Swarup, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swarup Sri Bhagavata. This is it. Tati Veja Shastri Haiti Parama Mahatva. Therefore, among all Shastra, this is Parama Mahatva. This is supreme. Because it's Rasa Swarup. It's to be drunk. It's to become intoxicated by. And when Rupa Goswami speaks about this, he writes, Rasikai Saha Srimad Bhagavat Athasvada. After aswada, aswada means to drink it, to take it, to devour it, to relish it. Aswada means taste it. Taste it. Aswada, this word comes up continuously. Aswada means taste. Taste it. Srimad Bhagavat Artha, the Artha of Bhagavatam, everything that's to be given by this book, taste it. Rasikai Saha, which means in the company of connoisseurs. Rasikai. Rasa, rasika. Rasa is the very delight in itself, love in itself and all of its the aesthetics of it. And a rasika is someone who is on a level of their life of where they really know. They're a connoisseur of ras. They're a connoisseur of the subject. They have an undeniable relish of the subject. This is the thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to experience himself. Prem ras niryas kariti ashwadan. Raga marga bhakti loke korite pracharan. Kaviraj Goswami writes this. Rasik shekhar krishnara parama karuna e dui hetu hoiti parama udgama. These are the two reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming here. This is the reason why God manifests in Navadvip. Prem ras niryas. The primary reason. To experience the ras of devotion. The rasa of love. Prem ras niryas kariti ashadan. Ragmarg bhakti loki kariti pracharan. And to teach people the means through which this can be experienced. He lived it. He exemplified it. And this young man, you imagine they were in their 20s. They were in their 20s. In 1514. In Dasaswamedha Ghat, in Prayag. And this young man had left his position of Chancellor of the Exchequer for the Hussein Shah, the King of Bengal. And he trailed looking for this Chaitanya. And he found him in Prayag. And in his 20s, and Chaitanya was in his 20s, they had this conversation. And this conversation was then written in such a beautiful way. Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu. The feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mana Abhishtam. The interior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami took the responsibility of externalizing it, drawing on the language of the Bharat Rishi and the other writers of aesthetics, of drama, drawing on all the Vedic literatures, bringing them all together, and was able to write this phenomenal text, medieval text, on the aesthetics of devotional life. So that we could get from Watford to such heights. Everything's there, and there's no higher authority. So to just conclude, that this is not a class about our eligibility. This is not a class about what you should do, and it's not what I should do. It's, you know, everybody's where they're at. But this is the aspiration, the ultimate objective, the Sadhya Bhav, the ultimate outcome, aspired for goal of our entire life of practice, is for this thing. Taste. The Gita, raso varjam raso pyastya param drishtva nivartate. Now you have a taste for the wrong thing. To give up the wrong thing, you need to rediscover your taste for the higher thing. And when you taste the higher thing, you'll no longer aspire for that you were eating. You were eating meat. You were drinking wine. You were smoking ganja. You were eating fish. You were eating frog's legs. Lord Indra took birth as a hog. He's eating stool. They said, you come back to heaven. He said, I can't leave my wife and family. This is my life. I want to stay with everyone. Will we all be together in heaven? We must experience the higher taste. In every moment of our Krishna conscious life, it's the very thing that will sustain our lives here in service. It's not just about man up, bear up, hold up, hang on by a thread, keep going. When you die, you will be rewarded. That's Maya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.